For the kingdom of God is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for her vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, she sent them into her vineyard. When she went out about 9 o'clock, she saw others standing in the marketplace, and she said to them,
"You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right."
So they went. When she went out again about noon, and about 3 o'clock, she did the same. And about 5 o'clock, she went out and found others standing around. And she said to them,
"Why are you standing here idle all day?"
They said to her,
"Because no one has hired us."
She said to them,
"You also go into the vineyard."
When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to her manager,
"Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first."
When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying,
"These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat."
But she replied to one of them,
"Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?"
So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord.
We are 8 years old. Our mother has asked us to clean our room. If we clean our room, she says, "I will buy you an ice cream sundae later this afternoon." Our room is a wreck. Toys, clothes, cups, stuff is all over the place. First, we separate everything into piles. Then we get a dust rag and we begin to dust our room. Maybe Mom will let us have a large ice cream sundae if we dust. After we dust, we begin to put things back where they belong. We put all of our dirty clothes in the dirty clothes basket, and we put all of our toys into our toy box. We fold clean clothes, and we actually put them back in the drawer where they belong. And we even ask Mom for a clean set of sheets and tell her that we want to change the sheets on our bed. The vacuum cleaner is pretty heavy for an 8-year-old, but we drag it all the way to our bedroom and vacuum our room. We are covered in dirt and sweat. We have spent all of Saturday morning and most of Saturday afternoon doing nothing but cleaning our room. All of our friends have been outside playing. We could hear them out our window, but we know that a wonderful ice cream sundae awaits us. Mom finally yells, "Okay, let's go!" We run to our car, and to our dismay, our little sister gets into the car, too. It makes sense. Mom can't leave our 5-year-old sister at home by herself. Of course she's getting in the car. All the way to the ice cream store, we sit in the back seat with our sister, and we turn toward her, and we say, "I'm getting ice cream, I'm getting ice cream." We get to the ice cream store, and as we're getting out of the car, our mom says to us, "You did such a wonderful job cleaning your room today, you may get a large ice cream sundae." Yes, just what we wanted, and frankly, just what we deserve after giving a whole day to cleaning. After all, we're only 8 years old. We go to the counter, we tell the salesperson that we want a large ice cream sundae with everything on it. We watch as the salesperson makes it. Ice cream, hot fudge, chopped nuts, with whipping cream. Oh, maybe the person will put two cherries on top. The salesperson hands us our sundae. We grab a spoon, and just when we're about to take the first bite, we hear our mother say to our little sister, "Well, honey, you can get anything you want." No, wait a minute. She didn't clean her room. In fact, she played outside all day with her friends. We're the ones who stayed inside and cleaned and cleaned and cleaned. Maybe Mom means you can get anything except for a large ice cream sundae. Our little sister asked, "Does that mean I can have a large ice cream sundae too?" And Mom says, "Well, of course, sweetie, you can have a large ice cream sundae. You order one with the works." We can't believe our ears. Has Mom forgotten our deal? Has Mom lost her mind? There is no way that our little sister can have an ice cream sundae. It isn't fair. It isn't right. We're the ones who worked so hard that we could have a sundae. We're the ones who dusted, vacuumed, and changed the sheets on our bed so that we could have a large ice cream sundae. This isn't right. Or maybe we're at school. We have a test coming up that's going to eat our lunch. So for 1 week straight, maybe it's the bar exam, right, James? We study. We write study notes. We don't talk on the phone. We don't play on the internet. We live and breathe the upcoming exam. As we're studying, we find out that we have several friends who aren't studying as hard as we are. In fact, they're not studying at all. And we keep telling them, "You better study. It's going to be a hard one." The day of the test arrives. Because of all of our studying, we finish before anyone else. The teacher goes ahead, grades our paper, and we've made an A. We turn, we see all our friends struggling with the first question, and we walk right out of the room. The next class time the teacher begins to pass back the test, we're pretty excited because we already know our grade. As the teacher's passing out the test, he says, "This test was a little more difficult than I realized. We only had one A in the class, and the next highest grade was a C-. I don't feel good about the difference in these grades, so if you will look at your test papers, you will see that I gave everyone an A." Fair? No way. We are the ones who studied. We should be the only one with an A in the class. Or maybe we work really hard at our jobs. We meet every deadline. We attend every meeting. We're by-the-book kind of people and very loyal to our company. Raise time comes around, and we receive the highest raise an employee can receive. But so does the employee that sits around all day long pretending to be busy. You know that one, who's always late turning in projects, who's always late to meetings, who we know is actually looking for another job. Is this fair? No. Or maybe you were with me at our CYF camp, our high school age church camp back in Texas several years ago. We're at an afternoon Bible study, and of all the things, the youth picked this subject. They wanted to talk about salvation, at least from a disciples of Christ point of view. One of the youth raises his hand and says, "I know we can't determine who's in heaven and who isn't, but I know for a fact Hitler isn't there." A youth sitting across from him says, "We don't know that for sure." She continues, "We don't know what happened between Hitler and God at the moment of his death." The first youth says, "There is no way God would allow Hitler into heaven." And the second youth says, "What if Hitler said, 'God, I'm sorry,' and really turned his heart over to God?" The first youth says, "No, that isn't fair. Am I to believe we live good lives and someone like Hitler can ask forgiveness on his deathbed and God will grant it?" And I ask the first youth, "Do you believe in grace?" And he says to me, "Yes, of course, but it better be fair grace." Do we really believe in grace? To say yes may mean we believe it's okay for our little sister to get the same reward that we got for cleaning our room when she did absolutely nothing. To say yes may mean that we believe it's okay for everyone to get an A on a test for which no one else studied. To say yes may mean that we're okay with our company rewarding less than qualified employees with the same raises the company gives to prize employees. To say yes may mean that we have to leave the door open to the big question of whether or not people like Hitler are accepted into the presence of God. Do we really believe in grace? Or better yet, do we really believe in grace that Jesus says is a part of God's kingdom? God's kingdom's like an owner of a vineyard who hires laborers for a day at an agreed-upon wage. He hires them about 6 in the morning. Throughout the day, the owner continues to drive through Minneapolis and pick up more day laborers. The owner goes to the spot where all the day laborers stand as they hope to get a job. He goes by at noon, 9, 3. Each time he tells the laborers that he will pay them whatever is right. He drives past the hiring spot one more time at 5 in the afternoon and finds more laborers waiting. He asks why they are still there, and they say, because no one has hired us, and the owner tells them to go work in his vineyard. At quitting time, the owner goes to the vineyard and tells the manager to call in the laborers so they can get paid, and of course, he wants them to come in the order of last in the vineyard to first in the vineyard. To the surprise of the 5 o'clock crew, the owner paid them a day's wage. Those that had been working since 6 a.m. were pretty excited. If the 5 p.m. crew got the full day's wage, the 6 a.m. crew will get triple that, right? When the owner of the vineyard gave the 6 a.m. crew their wages, it was the full day's wage, which they had agreed upon, and they are furious because those who had worked 1 hour got the same pay as those who had worked all day and carried the burden of the work. The owner says, I've done nothing wrong. You received the wage upon which we agreed. I choose to give to everyone as I have given to you. Are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I am full of grace? Do we really believe in grace? We need to think long and hard before we answer that question. Grace puts us all on equal footing. Grace puts every human being on the face of the earth on equal footing. People you don't like, they can order a large ice cream sundae all they want. People that we know live lives of murder and theft, they'll get an A on that final exam. People that lie and cheat, only the best raise for them. When it comes to God's grace, there is nothing fair about it. Yet we proclaim it. We say we believe it. But I wonder if we have ever listened to this parable in Matthew and realized the implications of saying that we believe in the grace of God. All right. Maybe it's okay for our little sister to have a large sundae. And our classmates may not have studied for this test, but they have for others. And well, the company is doing well, so why shouldn't everybody get a raise? The Hitler question? That one's just a little more difficult. And that's why this parable just won't stop with the unfair grace. How many of us have ever driven by the spot in town here in the Twin Cities where people pick up day laborers? The first to go are always the young, strong, maybe a little cleaner than some others. And, well, they look more like, you know, they're from Minnesota or the Midwest, or let's be honest, they look like us. As the morning goes on, the pool of laborers continues to decrease as people come by. By 5 in the afternoon, the only people left are older laborers, those with a disability of some kind, people who are sick, people that more than likely don't know English. I mean, it takes a lot of effort if you're an owner to explain something when somebody doesn't speak your language, right? You just can't call them out first. And people that don't look like us, they're just not from around here. People nobody else wanted. Nowhere in the parable does it say that the laborers at 5 had been lazy all day. It doesn't say that they've been sitting around waiting for a handout. Instead, we're told that they stood there all day as truck after truck came through offering people a little money as a day laborer, and no one hired them. All day they have waited. Every time someone stopped, they thought, maybe this time. But all of the healthy, strong, energetic people get offered a job first. The kingdom of God is like the most vulnerable people in our midst getting offered a job and getting paid just like everybody else, no questions asked. I don't really know how I feel about this. If we see someone getting something for which they did not work or weren't really qualified, we proclaim injustice and not fair. How many times have we said, people just don't want to work anymore. They only want something for free. But what if they do work for an hour and they get paid the same as us? Is that bad? What if the most vulnerable in our midst, the people no one wants, no one wants to be around, what if they are welcomed and paid just like us? Is that really bad?
And what if they had been lazy all day? Does God's grace apply to them too? It appears that Jesus believes that in the presence of God, in God's world, everyone is equal. And God will offer grace and be as generous as God wants without our input or our permission. And that grace is extended even when everything at our core says grace should not be extended. Believe me, I yell, "It isn't fair," a whole lot. And this parable just makes me very uncomfortable. Do we really believe in God's grace for all, not just for ourselves? I understand the youth at camp who said, "It better be fair grace." If someone hasn't worked as long as me, isn't as smart as me, isn't like me, and that person gets the same pay as me, God wouldn't offer grace to other people, right? Of course, where would we be if grace was fair? It could mean we were left at the hiring spot even at 5 p.m., not even hired then. Or it could mean that the last will be first, and the first will be last. Do we really believe in grace? Amen.